5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk. It is I, Stephen Scott, by with you once again this week. Lots to talk about following Microsoft's big event, and also I've been buying. There's a surprise. Well, we'll get into all that. Robin Christofferson's with us from AbilityNet, as always. Robin, how are you today?
Really good. Thank you, Stephen. Really
and
good.
Tim Schwartz is back with us from lifeafterblindness.com. How are you, sir?
I am well. How are you guys?
Good. Well, I'm just back from holiday. So it seems like,
you're fantastic.
I feel great, but I will say that, you know, I go away for a couple of weeks, or a week, actually. It feels like I've been gone a month with the amount of tech news I've come back to. It's just unbelievable how much is going on. You know, one thing we can't even talk about because it will happen after we put our show out today is an Amazon event that's due to happen on Tuesday this week. So today, if you're listening to us on the podcast for the radio show for the first time podcast later in the week, the event will have happened, but we will discuss it next week. All kinds of new stuff coming. Knowing Amazon, I'm going to guess 56 new products. I'm going to say 56 because normally it is like, you know, ridiculous amounts of products that usually only appear in America, Tim.
Hey, not my fault. I've told you we beta test them for you to make sure it's all perfect before you get it.
Yeah, you're working out the kinks.
That's still my story and I'm sticking to it.
Such a
but
good
yeah,
guy,
no,
isn't
Amazon's
he,
always either, they're always either like, nothing or all in, either two products or, like you said, 50-some products. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to see what comes out this time around because I can't imagine an update to the Echo. I'm sure that's probably what will happen, but I can't quite imagine what an update to the Echo would look like this time around, Robin. I mean, you're the Echo guy around here. What would you like to see in the new Echo?
I really don't know. I mean, we've got ones that you can insert in your ears, in your car. I don't know. We haven't had one that you can insert nasally yet, so maybe one of those. Who knows?
A nose Echo.
Roller skates. I don't know.
Wow.
Let's see what they...
I think... I saw a rumour of this, and it was on one of the articles. And you know the way you read some of the articles, and it feels sometimes like it's... I don't know if you've ever played this game at meetings where people say, tell me two things about yourself that's true and one that's a lie, and we've got to work out which one the lie is.
Yeah.
The lie feels like the robot. Everyone's suggesting there's going to be a Echo-style robot. That's the one I want.
Yes.
I would love that. Chase me around the house.
Well, I've already got one where the screen follows you around the room. So,
well, there you
go.
So it's the natural progression is for it to grow legs and start following you around the place. So, yeah, maybe. Maybe that's the next big thing. But they're talking about a sound bar. There's lots of rumours about a sound bar. There's rumours of a wall-mounted Echo, which I guess is some kind of tablet that you would put on the wall. Although you could just stick a tablet on the wall, right? I mean, that's the other way of doing it.
Yeah, maybe it's a wall mount kit for a Fire tablet.
Yeah. Don't know. It's going to be
how many of the things will they bring out that are things that they brought out not because we needed them, but because they can? Like a couple of years ago, the wall clock, where it was literally a face, you know, the analog face clock that had Echo built into it. It's nice, but really? So
yeah,
I'm curious to see
actually,
those kind of things.
I bought that clock because I'm an idiot.
I know you did.
I did. I had no idea why I bought it, to be perfectly honest with you, because it doesn't speak, it doesn't do anything. But it does. I mean, it actually doesn't have Echo built in. That's the weird thing. It needs an Echo to connect to it.
That's right. Like the microwave, yeah.
Yes, that's right. So it doesn't have it built in. It basically just displays the time based on what the Echo's receiving, because that's the interesting thing. If you unplug the Echo, the clock stops working. Because it needs that connection constantly. It will display timers and things like that. It will flash with timers. That can be useful if you've got low vision. That can be useful. But then, you know, the problem is in a studio like this, when I'm recording, you don't want sound. And of course, sound comes with it. So that becomes a problem. It's not built for radio people. I'm telling you, it's terrible.
So you're saying, Stephen, the interconnectivity between Amazon's devices, the Echo and its devices, is like you to a buffet?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And listen, I can tell you all about buffets based on just coming off a cruise. where even though coronavirus was a possibility, it never stopped me getting near that buffet, let me tell you. Your hands can be anywhere. I'll have it. But I have to say, very safe cruising. If you're, you know, these days, it seems to be a very safe thing. I don't know if anyone here has bothered to think about doing it. I know you enjoy a bit of cruising, Tim.
I do, and my parents just came back off of a cruise. They had to go to a convention, and while they were there, they took a five-day cruise, and everything was very locked down, very secured, very safe. There was lots of rules in place, and they came back rested and relaxed and feeling wonderful. My wife and I, actually, our whole family has one booked for next March, but we'll just keep our eyes on things and, you know, keep making sure everything's going well. But I feel pretty good about it. And I love cruising. It's the best way to go unless you need to go somewhere specific. If you just want to get away, it's the best way to do it.
You ever tried it, Robin?
No, but I love ferries and stuff like that. So I can imagine that it'd be really cool. It's like isolation in style, isn't it?
Well, it is. The thing about it is, look, these cruise companies, they are absolutely determined to stay in business. Now, that's not a surprise to anybody, right? I mean, that's how they work, right? But the point is that they have to be safe. The cruises have to be safe. And I certainly have not felt safer anywhere, actually, on this earth than on a cruise ship that week, because every protocol was watched. In fact, at one point, when you stood up from the table to go back to the buffet, as I did on a number of occasions, you have to wear your mask. You have to go back and you have to wear your mask. Food is given to you. You don't just take what you want, so there's no hands everywhere stuff. It's not that kind of thing, which I did wonder about. I wondered how that would work. But no, it was great. And I stood up at one point and forgot to put my mask on, and this guy came over instantly. Mask, now. Oh, okay. And, you know, he was right to do that. Nice. Absolutely right to do that. And I said, no, absolutely, that's fine. And, you know, I felt like I'd been caught shoplifting, but, you know, it was like, you know, okay, fine.
There was probably word around the ship about you. Watch out for that blind guy that keeps asking for more stuff from the buffet.
What I loved about the guys at the buffet, I just want to say this one more point on the buffet, then I promise you I'll move on to Microsoft, because there's bigger issues here in the world right now that we want to get to. People are not tuning in to hear Stephen's buffet moments. But one thing I loved was that the guy who came over said, he said, right, okay, we've got chocolate cake here. And I said, oh, I love chocolate cake. And he said, I'm going to give you three. And I thought, this guy knows me. I don't know who this guy is, but he's getting an award at the end of this. He deserves an award from P&O. He deserves it. But no, it was absolutely fantastic. Now,
briefly to piggyback on that before we move on to Microsoft, my first cruise ever, I was sitting there at the dining room table. This is many years ago. And I couldn't decide if I wanted one particular dessert or another particular dessert. And I kept saying, I just don't know. I won't, they both sound really great. And the waiter said, well, why not get one of each? And I said, you know what? You're right. Why not? And I've had other times where I'm like, I don't know if I should get the shrimp cocktail or the salad, or, well, why not get one of each? I'm like, okay. Or three shrimp cocktails, or, you know, it's good and bad all at the same time.
Oh, it is. I mean, I will say one thing, you know, having a roast dinner and fish and chips on the same plate, I've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, I've never experienced that in my life before. It was the first time, and let me tell you, after the next morning, the last time. But it was, eating at night, at 11 o'clock at night, you can have hot dogs and mash till your heart's content.
How many 3 a.m. cheeseburgers did you have? That's what I want to know.
I did order two hot dogs to the room at 7 o'clock. Uh-huh. 9 o'clock, actually, because the restaurants had closed. They weren't all open constantly because, you know, there weren't as many people on the ship. The ship itself could take, I think, 6,000 people. But at this point, it had 1,000 on it for protocols and for safety reasons.
Sure.
Although, interestingly, the protocols were all ripped up the week after, because when we got back, the ship was going back out and it was able to dock again in certain ports, and it was carrying 4,000 that week. So things are clearly getting back to normal. But the safety protocols work, and as long as everybody follows them, and I have to say, I mean, I wasn't aware of anyone who wasn't following them. Everyone was masked. I mean, even on the big celebration night, we all got dressed up. It was kind of, I kind of felt bad, if I'm honest, more for the women than the guys, because the women put far more effort into how they look than men do, let's be honest. And, you know, the women had to, you know, wear masks. And I just thought, you know, you've spent all that time, you know, maybe doing makeup and you got to stick a mask over it. That's rubbish. You know, that's horrible. But no, everybody followed the rules. Everybody followed the rules. And that's why we got off. I will say one thing very quickly on it. So someone, and this is the thing, right? When you go on the cruise, they give you a COVID test first, right? So you get a test when you get there and you have to obviously get a negative test. If you don't get a negative test, if you get a positive test, they send you home. That's it. You're out. And what they do is they give you a voucher, essentially, so you can come back on a cruise another time. So you don't lose out as such, but you do lose the holiday at that point. Someone did actually get a positive test. And the unfortunate thing for them was that they were turned away, but also all the people on the coach who'd come with them had also been turned, all 48 of them, they'd all had been turned away. Yeah, that person wasn't popular, let me tell you. But it wasn't their fault, you know, just that's the way it goes. But
just is what it is.
For safety's sake, they said, no, we can't ask anybody else on because you've all been in contact with this one person. So, yeah. But anyway, cruising aside.
Times we live on, yes.
Cruising aside. It was a great holiday, though. But I'm glad to be back. And yeah, like I say, loads to talk about. I did buy some new toys while I was away, actually. Let's just say I pre-ordered. Let's put it that way. And we'll get into that a bit later. I think you can guess where I'm going. But yeah, Microsoft held an event and accessibility was mentioned.
Nice.
All excited. Yeah, I know. Yeah. The one event I don't get to see this year and accessibility is all over it.
I laughed so hard when you sent that message to our little group of us on WhatsApp and you said, really? I finally take a proper holiday and I'm away for an event and they cover accessibility for nearly 5 minutes. Really?
You know, how many of us have said over the years that accessibility doesn't generally get mentioned at events, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Microsoft held their Surface event and there you go, accessibility was mentioned. Well, let's dig into it because they have brought out a range of new products. No great surprise that they've upgraded the Surface Pro from the 7 to the 8. That's the new edition. By all accounts, I've looked at these images as best I can. It looks exactly the same to me, but everyone tells me it's different and it's all redesigned. It maybe is. I can't see it. I think it may be just a bit more curved at some points, maybe. I think they've removed some ports as well. I think the USB-A port has gone, and it's pretty much driven by the Surface port and the USB-C now, which is kind of going down the route of what other laptops are doing. But it still has your classic detachable keyboard. It's got its kickstand, you know, all that. Also, it's one of these laptops that has this new Intel Evo platform, which essentially combines the graphics and the processor together. This is Intel's equivalent of the M1, although nowhere near. But, you know, it's okay. I think it just means that your computer won't go on fire as easily. You know, Intel's known for heat, let's just say. And I'm not saying they go on fire, they don't go on fire, but they do get pretty warm. But yeah, it's got a larger screen apparently as well, 13-inch. I think what they've essentially done here is they've kept the style the same, but they've just managed to expand out. They've limited the bezels a bit. So the screen is a bit larger to be just, I think, above 13-inch. It doesn't give an exact here. It does have this 120Hz refresh rate, which for those who can see, apparently is a big deal. Does anybody know what that means in reality? I don't have a clue.
Buttery smooth
scrolling,
and that sort of thing.
That's what gave the new iPhones the always on display that everybody wants, in the, you know, Apple Watch and iPhones and things. And that, yes, Android has had, but you know, but yeah, so there, Microsoft is catching up as well. Sounds like it's really, really good looking, you know, the screen.
Yeah, so here, yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's a really attractive thing. I mean, it's got, in terms of other specs, just so, and I'm being pretty scant on the detail here, but I think I like to keep to the bits that we actually understand. Connection ports, it's got two USB-C with Thunderbolt 4. It gets so confusing with all this, doesn't it? But essentially, it took me a while to realize this, that's the same port. It's not got four ports. It's got two ports, both which are USB-C with Thunderbolt 4 built in. If you understand what that means, please write
spec.
It.
Yeah, the two protocols are very, very similar.
Yeah, they are. Well, essentially, I think one is One can be for charging in data. The other is for, I guess, more demanding data, isn't it? Because Thunderbolt 4 can send more data.
Yeah, to another Thunderbolt 4 enabled device, hard slightly drive, faster bit rates and stuff. Yeah, yeah. And
quite fast, yeah.
Yeah, but they all deliver power, yeah.
It's got a dedicated charging port. Now, that's actually quite good because the MacBook Air, I find this quite irritating. It's only got the two USB-Cs, but one of them has to be your charging port. They've decided to put in a dedicated charging port, which will be, I guess, the standard. I haven't seen this, but I guess it'll be the standard Surface Pro type, which is quite a long cable, quite a long connector. It's actually quite handy because it's almost magnetic. I think it is magnetic, actually. It just goes in. It's very easy to connect up. Wi-Fi 6, which a lot of people will be pleased about, getting that faster connection, and also a built-in 5-megapixel 1080p front-facing camera and a 10-megapixel 4K rear-facing camera. I, to this day, do not understand why they put the rear-facing camera on a, especially on a device like this, make it better than the one at the front, which is the one everyone's using. Nobody's using the rear-facing camera on a Surface. Come on.
I've often thought that like on a handheld device like an iPhone or an Android, I get having the lower megapixel quality camera in the front for you know, face video calling, or, you know, FaceTime video calling, things like that. And then your camera, of course, in the back that you're taking pictures with be better. On iPads, and I know there's those people who go to concerts and hold their iPads up and
annoy everyone else,
film and things, but really, yeah, I kind of think on something that size, and especially on something like this, like a Surface or, you know, a standard laptop computer, yeah, I agree with you, Stephen. I think it should be the other way around, but that's just the way they do it.
Just some other stats for you. It comes in various flavors, 8 gig, 16 gig, 32 gig, if you want that amount of RAM. 16, I think, is a good number. I'll be honest, I wouldn't buy a computer that wasn't 16 gig. 8 gig just seems a bit too low. And when you start to add screen readers to things, you need a bit more power. You need a bit more bottleneck. And that is essentially what RAM is, right? So you need to be able to have a bigger bottleneck to allow the applications to run as well as let the screen reader do its thing. And when you talk about JAWS, yeah, I think 16 gig is the minimum. I know it can run on 8. I don't doubt for a second it'll run fine on 8, but it runs better on 16. In terms of processors, you get two flavors, the i7 or the i5 11th gen processors from Intel. I think on that one, either or, if I'm honest. I mean, I don't think it really matters at this stage. i7's good, but i5 is probably fine for most people. I think it's the RAM for me that I always think about. Does have, you'll be pleased to hear, the TPM chip. That's good news. That means that you can get Windows 11. It comes with 11 Home. You can obviously, I think if you buy it as a business user, you'll get Windows 11 Pro as standard, at least when it's released. This isn't out until October 6th, I think. So it will be coming out at the time when you get Windows 11 anyway. It does have various SSD options, solid state drive options for the, you know, fast hard drives. You've got 512 gig. Actually, I'd better tell that. It says removable solid state drive options, 128 or 256. Removable?
Yeah, they made quite a big thing of this. I don't know how they would do that on a sealed unit, whether it kind of has this thing that slides out the side or something.
Oh, that's interesting.
You can't pop the screen off, I wouldn't have thought. But yeah, that was quite interesting because it's loads of third party, very affordable, very, you know, high throughput SSDs these days.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And it's got the Iris graphics on there as well, which is part of the Intel Evo ecosystem, if you like. I have to say, I've used a machine with Iris graphics. Absolutely brilliant. Great. I mean, as in, works well with all the screen readers, doesn't. I tend to find these new processors tend to get a little bit fussy with JAWS. I had this problem years ago. You might remember this, Tim, when I had this problem with the Dell XPS that I had. And basically my screen would just flash all the time. Mm-hmm. Nothing worked properly. JAWS was all over the place. I should say we're recording this early on a Tuesday. So if you're hearing bin lorries behind me, that's why you're hearing bin lorries, because it's early morning here. But yeah, on top of that, you've got the two USB-Cs, as I say, with USB 4, Thunderbolt 4. The Surface Connect port, so yes, that is the standard Connect port. A Surface Type cover port, now that's where you connect to the keyboard. That's on the front, you wouldn't really notice that, but that's where the keyboard itself connects magnetically to the front of the device. And it has a headphone jack, Hoorah! It's still got a headphone jack, which is nice, obviously. How can you be against a headphone jack in this day and age?
How can you not remember the, what, dozen or so different Bluetooth headsets I have around my house? So
I know, but I again, when it comes to screen readers, you know this, I love having headphones wired in, because then I just don't have... And I know there's less lag than there used to be, but...
There's a reason why I have about a dozen of them around the house, because some of them are laggier than others. Some have any lag. And so I just buy them and try them out. Kind of like you and keyboards, you know?
Don't even get me started. I love keyboards. You know what I'm like, guys, with keyboards. In terms of price, just a quick one on this. Oh, you can get it in platinum or graphite. And if that means anything to you, then good luck to you. Starting price for the base model, which is the i5 for the 8 gig RAM, 128 gig SSD, 999. If you want that 16 gig in there, this configuration's got 256 gig SSD running the i5, 1299. These are all pre-order at the moment, coming out on October 6th. So, you know, Surface Pro, I have to say, is becoming a bit of a favorite in the blind community. I'm seeing more and more people talk about buying the Surface Pro. It does seem to be the standard, or becoming the standard. It's not the only choice out there, and we'll get to the other ones. There are other options you can get. But it does seem to be attracting people, Robin.
Well, for me, I mean, I've tried touch on Jaws, and, you know, a bit like on the Mac, you can use the trackpads, which are absolutely huge on the Mac, to roam around an effective screen. You know, you can just read everything that's under your finger, just like on iOS. And for whatever reason, because obviously on iOS, that's my main way of operating, of course, it just doesn't do anything for me on either Mac or Windows. I think it's just the fact that there's so much on it. So for me, I'm not sure what I would get out of a Surface Pro versus a really nice Ultrabook laptop, or a, you know, really light laptop where all the weight's in the keyboard, not the screen. And that's what you want, a really good typing experience. So yeah, I don't know. Tim, what would you get out of a Surface?
Probably not much, but I'm in that use case of not having any usable vision whatsoever, like, you know, like a lot of us. And I'm still just happy with my iPhone as far as something mobile. And then just the PC that I have, if I need to sit down physically somewhere and do something, I'm okay with what I have. If I want something else, this could be appealing. I know we'll get to it, but when they talked about the Duo, I believe the Surface Duo, they were talking about the haptic feedback on the trackpad. And not that I would have a use case for it, but I could see this being useful. Their pen, similar to the Apple Pencil, now has haptic feedback, so you can actually feel what you're doing and feel like you're actually drawing or writing. And so those things, having that haptic feedback as somebody who has no usable vision, that's attractive to me. That's interesting. I like the idea of being able to feel what's going on. So there are some things here that I like. I like the power in it. You know, for $1,299, that's not horrible, especially getting that kind of RAM and that kind of experience. And I know it's going to be accessible. So I don't fault the people who want to gravitate towards this at all. I think that there is a definite use case to have the mobility of it, but then be able to sit down at a desk or in your living room and just, you know, sit and have that computing power. So I'm not mad at it, we'll say.
I should also say, before we get email, that Windows 11, yes, is more optimized for touch. That's absolutely the case.
Very true.
Yeah, Jaws will. But as soon as you get into an app, you're going to be back to, you know, the way you were before, unless, I don't know, you've done some customization.
Well, can I be honest? This is why I think this is important that we have this conversation from our perspective, because we have to almost exclude the sighted here for a minute. And I apologize about that, guys. But, you know, we kind of do, because this conversation requires us to get into the nitty-gritty of what is going to work for us. There's a few pitfalls in the Microsoft Surface lineup, as far as I'm concerned. I can see why people gravitate to the Surface Pro, because it's kind of the all-in-one solution. If you want something that is mobile, that's accessible, that's going to do the job, it's going to run, you know, all the software you want it to run, that's great. You then turn to something like the Surface Pro X, and that's a different ballgame entirely, because it's a similar style of design. The key difference here being is the optional gigabit 4G. So you can have 4G in this. Now, this actually appeals to me. I like the idea of having 4G built into a laptop. Trust me, I've sat on trains long enough. sitting there thinking, why can't I get connection? It doesn't work properly. My phone's not getting it. Now, of course, it's all dependent on the connection as well, right? It's not just you're not going to get a perfect connection just because it's built in. But the fact is, sometimes you do want to have your own connection. You don't always want to use those cafe networks that might be, you know, who knows what, who's on that network who might be hacking into your system. And especially these days, I think you've got to be more careful about that. So for me, it's about having that on device 4G, and that does appeal. But this particular device, and they've made some upgrades to it that they've brought out, and it's obviously going to run Windows 11. But it's also, there's another issue here. This is maybe a bigger issue, is it only runs on ARM. Windows 11 on ARM. Now, what that means is there are certain apps that won't work. Now, from my understanding of this, and I've never tried the Surface Pro X, I'm not really prepared to put the money out on it to try, and Microsoft have been hesitant to send me this, which I find interesting. Every time I ask them to send me it, they just kind of brush me off. And I think it's because they know what I'm going to find, which is that certain programs, like NVDA, JAWS, will work on it. Because it's running on ARM.
There is one version of JAWS, but I think it'll still... So this has got the latest gen ARM-based chip, and they're saying that it's, for the first time, semi-viable from a performance point of view. So they're kind of arriving now where, for the average user, it's going to be bearable.
And, let's dial that back a bit, because you're right. For the people who maybe bought the Surface Pro X first time around, the experience I had was not great. Yeah. Not great performance. It was pretty basic, and it couldn't really. It didn't have the power in it that perhaps they hoped it would, based on the ARM processor.
Yeah, exactly. So, but if you put JAWS on top of that, I think there's still a version of JAWS for ARM. Then it's going to be a lot slower. So, you know, I'd love, like you said, I'd love to get my hands on that and test drive that and see how viable it was.
Hang on. You may be breaking news here because I didn't know this. Is there a version of JAWS that works on ARM?
There has been. I'm assuming it's still valid, you know, because maybe there's a bit of a renaissance if it came to emulation on the M1, because obviously M1 is very powerful, the Apple's equivalent. So
buy a MacBook to run Windows. That's a problem, though. That's where we're at, right? I mean, a MacBook Air is more powerful than this thing.
Oh, infinitely more. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because, you know, Intel, like you said earlier, has a reputation for power, but huge power consumption as well, and hence heat generation, etc. So to move over to the much more efficient architecture of ARM would benefit everyone. But as well as the performance issues, because Qualcomm just haven't quite got there yet, and the fact that the ARM environment means that you're not going to get all the apps that you want necessarily. And they're talking about emulation there, Intel emulation within ARM, and that is another layer of inefficiency as well. So they will run really, really slowly.
No thanks. And this is the problem. You know, I think, and again, I come back to this point, if you're blind, this is a serious consideration because we need to make sure that certain things work for us. And we don't know the answer to this. I don't think there's an NVDA for ARM that I know of.
I doubt it.
And there doesn't seem to be a hunger for it at the moment. I mean, again, in terms of specs, if you are interested in this, 13-inch display, comes with 8 or 16 gig RAM. It's got the firmware TPM chip, of course. Running Windows 11 on ARM. You can also get a Surface Pro X with 4G, which runs Windows 10 Home on ARM, but you get an upgrade to Windows 11 when it comes out. It's got all the other things you would expect. The main difference being, of course, it has the SIM card capability built in. Again, removable solid-state drive options on this new one. Wi-Fi, doesn't say Wi-Fi 6, although maybe I haven't gotten there yet, but it doesn't mention Wi-Fi 6. Two USB-Cs again, Surface Connect port and a nano SIM. No mention of a headphone port. That's interesting.
Too thin, I think.
Say again?
I think it might be too thin, I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, it is a lot thinner. And it's certainly one thing they rave about here is the battery life. But then if it's not doing very much, then what would you expect? Anyway, moving on, because I'll be honest, you know, okay, price-wise, if you really care about this, I'd like to give people information they may want to know. Starts at $999. I would just buy a Surface Pro 8 if it were me. If I'm spending
that money. I want to try Narrator on it as well, though, actually.
Well, that's true. Yeah, Narrator will work, yeah.
Now, because they're in effect quite different operating system, this, you know, on ARM, it's not just a sort of a rejig, it's a rebuild. One imagines that they would make Narrator as sophisticated as it is now on Windows 10 and 11. Because, yeah, it's a rebuild, even though it was called Windows 10 on ARM and now it's Windows 11 on ARM. They are quite different operating systems, obviously under the hood only, because they're made to look very similar and behave the same. But, yeah, one would imagine that the accessibility or the level of advancement of Narrator has been brought up to what we've come to enjoy on Windows.
Now, if the Surface Pro 8 is just too big for you, then there's a tiny version, there's a teeny, teeny, teeny version of it called the Surface Go 3. Again, if you are blind and you use a screen reader, you might not want this because I figured something out here. I was reading it in the specs. It runs Windows 11 Home in S mode. Yes, S mode continues. S, which stands for simplified? I honestly don't know what that stands for.
That's a word for it.
Yes. it is just a very simple version of Windows. And again, this, from my understanding, is it will only work off apps that are in the Windows Store. Correct?
Yep. No, downloading apps from anywhere else. I think you can unlock S mode. Not sure. But yeah, it's... this is for education and kids, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, yeah. I mean, 10.5-inch screen, which is kind of nice. I mean, I love the size of this thing. I do love the size of it. Runs Windows 11 Home in S mode. I'm just seeing, does it have USB... UHD graphics in this one. So graphics are not brilliant on it, but then it's a small device. And like you say, this is geared more towards productivity in the... I imagine, education sense. So it's not going to need gaming graphics in it. It's got USB-C, single USB-C. It's got a 3.5mm headphone jack. Hurrah! Surface Connect port and a card reader, micro SD card reader in there as well. It does have Wi-Fi 6. That's interesting. The thing that gets me about these devices is, you know, we've got three very different devices here. Very different. And each one gives you, you know, varying options. And if you're blind, pretty much the only one that seems to give you the solution you might want is the Surface Pro 8 so far. But actually, they released four things. Well, they actually released five particular devices, but we'll get to the four computers that they launched. Unless your view on the Duo is it's a computer. They did bring out the Surface Laptop Studio. I have to say, this is the one that kind of appeals to me, although I don't really know why, just because it's big and fancy, right? I don't think there's any pricing on this, but it says coming early 2022, so it's got a bit away from it coming out. But this is a new design, which, if I'm honest, this is going up against the MacBook Pro, it would appear, in terms of performance, in terms of capability. And I'll say as well, I think it's even going up against the iPad Pro, because what you've got here is a touchscreen device, like all the other Surface devices. But this one has a bit of a difference to it. So standard laptop design, standard laptop, you open up the screen. But the difference is you can actually hinge forward the screen so that it kind of covers the keyboard. And what you're left with is the ability to use the trackpad and the keyboard, the trackpad and the screen together. So the keyboard is kind of covered off when you bring forward the screen. It's like you can bring the screen forward beyond the keyboard, which is kind of cool in terms of design. And that obviously means you can focus on using the trackpad and the screen. If you're using a pen, you can use that. But I think a lot of us are probably thinking, okay, well, what's the benefit here for us? I think if you are low vision, there's a couple of benefits here. First of all, you can get your screen closer to you for a start. That's kind of nice. But you can also get the use of that touchscreen. If you don't have need for touchscreens, as I don't think any of us do, or at least have any benefit from it. I mean, yes, I know there's use cases for it. I know that JAWS works with it. But actual productivity, this is not really going to benefit anybody, I think, in the blind community.
Yeah, not a home PC. Not, not in a use case that I can think of for someone. I mean, I'm sure there is some use case, but for us personally, I don't think so, no.
It depends what you're doing with it, right? I mean, I think there's, right. I think there's some benefits to this. The design is certainly different, but it is built for creatives. Without a shadow
yeah,
of
I like the design a lot.
But, it, you know, Robin, I do think this comes up against the iPad Pro and even the MacBook Pro. I think it combines the two of them. It's almost like this is the kind of thing Apple should have come up with.
It's too fussy for Apple, I think, you know, because, yeah, like that hinge, it's, I think, joins the screen halfway up, which is why the, you know, you can kind of bring it forward, the front edge of the screen you can bring forward because it's kind of hinged in the middle. I think you can flatten it down as well, so it covers up the whole of the keyboard and trackpad, so it's just basically a tablet at that point. There's other configurations as well, so it's got versatility, but I don't know. It feels a bit fussy for something that Apple might do when they've never ever kind of changed the normal laptop configuration. But power wise, absolutely, this is their top of the range, professional productivity, very expensive if you max it out option. Mm. So this is the workhorse, and you know it's got these built in additional extras now, and this is the one that replaced the one with the detachable screen where the hinges were always failing.
Oh, I see.
For when you know you detached it, if you then put it back on, sometimes you know it would grab it, but it wouldn't connect the screen again, and it was a bit hit and miss. So they've kind of moved away from that a little bit to something that has probably got all of the benefits of the other one, but in a more elegant and reliable form factor. So yeah, I'm not 100% sure. From a vision impairment point of view, who it would be for high-end users who really like Surface, would like to be able to use a touchscreen, maybe with a pen, that sort of thing.
I don't think that's the case. I think it's the reason I think it's good for visually impaired people is because the screen being able to get a bit closer to you, that's a good thing. You can get a keyboard right up against, if you wanted a large keyboard, as a lot of us use. We use maybe large print keyboards or that kind of thing. You can get it right up against the laptop. You can get the laptop closer to you. You've got a great screen on there. I mean, that's the other thing. Quality of screen when you're low vision is everything. You know, for us, we tend to look at the screen as you could almost rip this thing off. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. So when I buy a laptop now, I don't really care about the screen. In fact, I tend to go for lower end. Like, I mean, a good example would be Dell Inspiron versus Dell XPS because, you know, the Inspiron have decent screens, but, you know, I don't care. So I'm not paying the extra just to get a 4K display. It doesn't mean anything to me. But if you're low vision, that will matter. So, you know, if you're low vision, XPS is better. This also comes with, or at least you can choose the options to have the higher GeForce graphics cards, like the 3050s available in there, or the Iris XS Iris X graphics if you wanted those as well. Obviously you get all the high end options in terms of even capacity. You can get up to 2 terabytes on this internal storage. You can get up to 32 gig RAM. It's going to run those i5 and i7 processors again. It's got function keys, which matter to a lot of people like me. Hello, I still love my function keys. Leave them alone. Yeah, I mean, and of course the design of this as well. It's just it's a sexy design. They've got that kind of fabric style or whatever they call it, you know, design. And apparently the audio in it is brilliant. But we won't know until we get our hands on it. But it'll be really interesting to see how that lands. Tim, it's a very, I haven't seen pricing on this. Maybe you guys have. I haven't seen the price. There's no pricing on the website at the moment.
I have not. I have a feeling it's going to be very high end, like you said, comparing it to Apple products. And I think that that's what this use case is for. It's, you know, the word studio is to be for creatives, for pros and people that are you know, doing graphics or, you know, editing of some kind. And I can see that someone with low vision or, you know, who is sighted pulling that screen closer, of course, not just to get that better view and the good look at the screen, but I can imagine using the Microsoft Pen or even just using the touchscreen in general, reaching over a keyboard and trying to reach at the screen, and you might bump a key or drop, you know what I mean? I could just see you bumping something and just being frustrated. And so being able to pull it closer to you and not have to reach over top of a keyboard that you might accidentally hit a key on. I just think it is sleek. It's elegant in its design and the use case for the people who will use it. I think it'll be fantastic. It's just, I probably would not be looking at anything that's a pro slash studio slash, you know, high end. I mean, of course, if I had Vision, well, yes, then obviously I'd be diving into these all the time. But for my personal use case, it's fantastic. I think I said this about some of the stuff from the Apple event. The tech really impresses me and I like it, but it's just not what I'm going to need. But again, that's not to say that someone out there isn't going to like and need the, you know, the sleekness and the use case of those.
Yeah. And also to be fair, you know, I think your use case is probably the same as a lot of our listeners' use case. It's not, you know, creating the next Toy Story. It's, you know, it's sending emails, it's going on Twitter, it's doing, you know, the not basic, but, you know, that's what it is, isn't it? It's basic use, which is what we all tend to do. I mean, I'm the same. I'm not conducting symphonies on here. You know, I'm basically using this thing as, I mean, I've got an iMac in front of me. I'm doing email, I'm doing Twitter, I'm browsing the web. You know, that's what I'm using it for. And I've got the addition of a USB mic plugged in. That's what I use to record. So, you know, it's basic
I wouldn't
stuff.
Be surprised on the pricing if the very sort of entry-level build would be somewhat affordable for us and might not be too ridiculously overpowered for the sort of things that we'd like to do. But, the fact that they haven't announced prices up front, you know, at this point, it reminds me of Judith went into a really nice gift shop over the weekend and she parked me outside like normal. That's what I ask to do, just stay outside in the sun.
Tie me up to railings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she came out a few minutes later and said, there aren't prices on anything.
That's never
so
good.
That's, you know, I think it's a case of if you have to ask, then you can't afford. So
I had the joy of being on the cruise ship. There are shops and you can buy things. And my wife had gone into a shop and she asked about a particular ring that she was interested in. Mm-hmm. And she came back out and she said, let's just walk away now. And I said, okay, well, what's happened? So we went for a coffee and she told me that the ring that she was looking at was something like £15,000. And
wow.
I said,
after a coffee had fortified her.
Exactly.
Have a speech back.
Exactly. Did you get it for Stephen? Why didn't you get it for her?
I know, I could have bought two, one for each, or ten, one for every
How
finger.
How many Apple and Android and other devices do you have that you're not using? You could cash in, and yeah, you get her a couple of them, I'm sure.
I'll see, the thing is, the joy of cash in is, or trade in with Apple, is that they only give you Apple money. It's a shame, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can only buy it. So if Apple made rings, we'd be right in there.
Amazon did.
That's true, yes.
That's true. Amazon just makes everything because they can. We've established that.
I don't think she wants the Amazon one.
I want the next gen ring.
Yeah.
To that point, though, my wife was looking at the Microsoft Adaptive Kit. And they don't have a price on it either because it does come, I know we haven't gotten to that yet, but it does come with the new products, but you can buy it by itself. It is available as separate purchase, but it's not priced yet. So
let's talk about that, because that really was the surprise at the event. And I, you know, unfortunately didn't get to see the event as it came out. So I was kind of catching up on this when I came back. But this Surface Adaptive Kit was mentioned. So accessibility got a mention, first off, hello. Which is just a brilliant news, frankly. But not just a mention, not just like, by the way, you know, disabled people exist and isn't that nice. It was actually for a reason, and the reason was to tell people about this new kit that they're bringing out. So it's a set of tools that essentially allow you, you know, different ways to help you use your device better. Now, from my understanding, what they have is they have... And I'm just going to go through the details of what they have in the box. They have bump labels, keycap labels and an applicator, port labels, and opening support. Let me go through these. So bump labels, from my understanding, although I haven't seen pictures of this, I think this is essentially bump-ons to some degree, or at least...
Lock dots, yeah.
Yeah, lock dots, that kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Microsoft have reinvented the bump-on. That's what's going on here. And I love it. I just love that they're doing this because they're about to make bump-ons cool. which I think is just brilliant. In fact, were you telling me this, Robin, that someone on a podcast was saying, mainstream podcast was talking about this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I tend to listen to events when I can via the Twit Network, This Week in Tech. They're brilliant at their commentaries. They are very, you know, they're experts in this field, so they can give you all the background and actually put things in context, because particularly Microsoft events, there's a lot of, well, actually, no, in Apple as well, a lot of hype, a lot of heartstrings. Panos Panay always does a good job of, you know, conveying passion about the new devices. So, you know, their commentary here was actually really telling. You know, they were two men of a certain age in their late 50s, early 60s, probably. And they were saying, we need these high-vis keycaps because, you know, okay, backlit is now a thing. So that can certainly help with visibility, particularly when the light's poor. But traditionally, keyboards have not been high-vis. You know, they've been beige or light grey keys with a slightly darker tone of beige or grey on the of the, you know, with the keys, the letters, and they're really small. Yeah, not high contrast at all. So those went down really well. They raved about the things that you can put over the ports and on the cables,
so
that
is
you
this?
Can know which. It's like so normally on the side of a device that are usually very thin these days, they have to silk screen on a little tiny indicator to say what kind of port it is. And similarly on the cable as well. And it's really low vis and tiny. So this basically just makes it a lot more visible what kind of a port it is, and you can label the cables as well. So I think from a color match point of view, you can say, okay, I'll plug this orange one into this one as well. So, because ports,
they are tactile,
all look the same
as well.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
Yeah, they are different colors that match, so orange to orange, you know, mm-hmm. etc. And then they are tactile, so that if you're feeling the cord of the cable itself and feeling that tactile label that you've got around the end of the cable, and then feel your actual back of your computer, then you can know where to match it. So if you can see the color and know that contrast, great. If not, you can feel the tactile nature of it and know this matches this, basically.
Yeah. That's and nice. You were mentioning about how we were ahead of the game when it came to, you know, high-vis keycaps and lock dots and things. They were having a bit of a rueful chuckle at the chap. So Dave Dame was the chap who was presenting this segment about the Surface Laptop Adaptive Kit, this set of tools. And he has cerebral palsy, and he was explaining how, you know, they're very useful and which sort of impairments or disabilities they would apply to. And the one that you're going to come onto in a second about helping you open it would applied most to him with cerebral palsy. And he said he used to have to use a fork to get his laptop open. But he said something. He said, you know, we'll all be disabled in the end. It's just that people who have got disabilities now have kind of beaten you to it. And the two older gentlemen, Leo and Paul Thrott, gave a, you know, rueful chuckle at that, because it's kind of true. Okay, not every single person will die with a disability, but, you know, the things that accessibility is aimed at, and this is why for the longest time Microsoft called it ease of access, because they were trying to make it more broadly. But I think now the term accessibility has got broader appeal, so hopefully everyone will try these out, because whether you've got a disability, you know, a significant disability, or whether you've just got you know, shaking hands or weaker wrists or whatever, as you get older your vision is going a little bit, or your hearing, everyone should be customizing their computers, and, you know, there's something for everyone in there. So
the problem is that people get the idea sometimes, I think, that, you know, disability comes along and it's 0 to 100, so, you know, if you can see 20/20 vision, you go to nothing, and that's it. That's you. You're blind in that example. But of course, it's not like that for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. For many people, vision just gets worse. It just gets. Mm-hmm.
Mine was a slow transition for almost 20 years. Right eye, mm-hmm. then the left eye, and eventually just basically nothing. And that was from 20/20 vision as a child. So yeah, it's not all, you know, the lights just go completely out. I mean, it has all kinds of different variety to it. And I think that's the point.
Yeah. But if that means that you can, and this is the key point, I think, about learning or teaching everybody about accessibility as a thing for everybody rather than just for us. I've told this story before about the woman on the train who I asked, you know, she was having problems with using her phone, and she said, I just can't read this. And I told her how to turn on large print. And she said to me she wouldn't go into the accessibility tools because she didn't think they were for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was so telling. You know, she thinks of it like a disabled bathroom. You know, it's like you need a certain key to get in and it's only for them. And, you know, you can, that's the problem. You know, we have to kind of get away from that when it comes to accessibility on devices, because these tools can help all of us. But just going quickly to that point about the pool thing, which I think is a great idea. I've made jokes before about this Surface Pro kickstand. One of the things I can't abide about this particular device is this kickstand, because I just imagine in my head I'll always forget to use it and I'll just smash my Surface Pro to bits just by flicking open the lid, and then suddenly, you know, it just falls flat on its back. But, you know, the other thing here is, of course, if you do have challenge, and funnily enough, when I tried it, I've got an issue with my left hand. I've got an essential tremor in my left hand, but my right hand's fine. And I do have issues sometimes opening those up, especially if it's new. Over time, it might weaken a bit, but, you know, initially it can be quite difficult. And I wouldn't consider myself to have a physical disability. So, yeah, this kind of thing is cool. You put it on the back and then it just helps you pull open the kickstand more easily. I love the fact, I think we've got to stop for a second, just say, wow, that Microsoft have even done this. I think that is just incredible that they've done this. And I'm not suggesting for a second that, you know, Apple might not come up with the same idea at some point. And here's the interesting thing. You could probably use this on Apple products if you wanted to. Yeah, it's not exclusive to Surface.
And if Apple and, you know, Samsung or anybody else rips this off, bravo.
Yeah,
good.
Do it. Yeah, exactly.
Let's make it a standard that keyboards and laptops and iPads and tablets of all kinds come with various bump dots with various shapes and sizes and tactile things on them. You know, many of these have like arrows and slashes and, you know, all kinds of different things on them, so you can really truly differentiate between things. Let's do that. Let's have everybody copy this and include this, because they even said during the presentation that they had heard reports, for example, with this, you know, the opening of the Surface, people would drill a hole into the kickstand so they could attach something of their own. And so they've just gone ahead and done it for you and attached this to where you can put the lanyard in and more easily open the screen. And, you know, like Robin was saying, if you have, you know, cerebral palsy or Parkinson's or some other issue where it's difficult, this, I mean, that's a big deal to be able to just something as simple as making it easier to open it up. I mean, who knew? Who thunk? You know,
it's incredible. I just want to quickly mention the Surface Duo 2. And I say quickly because this is a device where I think that the blind people go one way and the Surface Duo 2 goes another. I cannot understand in my head where this fits into anything. Essentially,
yeah, who is this for?
Yeah, exactly. So you essentially have an Android device here, an Android phone with two screens.
Android phones.
Yeah, two Android phones, stuck together.
Yep. Android apps work on it, yeah.
And it's good, and I don't doubt for a second it's going to be great. It's got 5G built in, and it's obviously got all the stuff you need. It's got cameras in there, but, you know, they're selling it on the do more with two screens argument. I cannot think what I would or how I would use this. I mean, I suppose it's, you know, essentially you run two apps at the same time, right? And it means you don't have to constantly flick between. That's maybe quite nice. But I just don't know where I'm at with this one. I don't know who it's for.
As I said earlier in the year with the Samsung two-screen, you know, device, I forget the name of it, right? Oh, the Fold. Thank you very much. I could see someone like my daughter using that, because I could see her having a game like Among Us or something like that in one screen and then chat like Facebook Messenger or YouTube or something on the bottom and doing both at the same time. You know, watching walkthrough videos or review videos or chatting with her friends while playing a game, or even for homework purposes, you know, having a note type app in one side and your homework program, you know, Microsoft Teams or something like that, you know, in one and, you know, notes in the other or something along those lines. So I think for a purpose like that, for gaming, for school, for multitasking, even in business, if you're needing to use more than one screen at a time for more than one app for productivity purposes, I could see that being beneficial.
Yeah. Robin?
I mean, we should say that the first one was very underpowered and the camera wasn't great. They've sorted all that out, which is really good. So hardware-wise, people are really excited about this one. But like Tim said, you know, whilst there probably are applications for many sighted people, you know, if one screen's good, two screens are better kind of thing. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, I want a nice small screen. I still love my SE 2020. We, unlike people who aren't running VoiceOver, can quick flip between apps with a four-finger swipe left and right. They can't do that. So we've kind of got multitasking there, really. So, yeah, I don't know. Apparently it's nice. Apparently it looks really, really nice, and it's got this kind of curved edge bit of the screen so that you can glance at messages and things while it's closed, because it hasn't got an outside screen, I don't think.
No, it doesn't, no. Nope. Well, there you go. I mean, it's an interesting lineup for sure. I think the adaptive kit certainly made it possibly the best Microsoft event for us, for sure. Very interesting. Just a quick word to say, I know we didn't get near it because we've only got a couple of minutes left. I did do some purchasing. I'll just quickly tell you what I purchased. I got myself the, because, you know, I've been going back and forward on this in my head, you know, what kind of iPhone do I want? I had the iPhone 12 Pro Max and I had the iPhone 12 Mini, and I wasn't really happy with either of them, to be honest. I kind of liked the Mini, but it was just a bit too small for typing. Not that I type massively, I tend to use dictation, but when I did want to type, I found it was just a bit too small. The Pro Max is just ridiculous. So I decided against that, and certainly decided against the Mini. So I've gone for the iPhone 13, not even the Pro. Didn't even go for the Pro, because I thought, again...
No Mini, just 13, huh?
The Pro is just... The only benefit to having the Pro is LiDAR. That's the only benefit to having the Pro.
Yes.
It didn't seem enough to wait for it, because the wait time was longer. I'm not waiting. So the wait time for it was too long, and I thought, you know, the camera is really the other thing that sells the Pro, and it just wasn't for me. I just didn't see any value in it. So I went for the iPhone 13. I also opted for the iPad Mini, not thinking how much I was going to love this little device. It is possibly the best Apple device I've played with in a long time. The form factor is brilliant. The size is excellent. It's nice and light. It's just the best iPad out there, as far as I'm concerned. It is a lovely little device. I can see those things flying off the shelves ahead of Christmas this year. It is such an interesting little device. iPad Mini out in various flavors, but yeah, really, really interesting. So that was my haul, along with, you know, umpteen cases and covers and all the rest. But yeah, we'll get into more detail on that next week. We will also get back to your emails as well. If you've got thoughts, and I know I'm sure many of you do on the Microsoft event, then please do email us techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Robin and Tim, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll catch you again on Tech Talk next week.